And that was really, really good. I do ask, and Pastor mentioned that you all continue to pray for my wife. She'll probably beat me up afterwards from saying this, but this is our first time in church since Mother's Day. And you all continue to pray for her. I'm glad she's here. I thought maybe she'd do better while I'm gone, but she's with me, man. She's doing better. And so I praise the Lord for that. I tell you what, folk, it's just a blessing to even the singing. Amen. Good preparations for the Word of God. And that is what it's all about. I appreciate the fellowship and the love you people shows here. I really do. And, you know, we always, wherever we go and wherever others go, you always evaluate, don't you?
Sure.
Using your right mind, you evaluate, amen, where you are and who you around, et cetera. You evaluate people. You check folk out, don't you?
Right.
I mean, so, okay. And so we do the same, amen. We check folk out, amen. And there's no sense to me, you know, I mean, I know a lot of us is too spiritual for that, but. I've been around some dead places too, okay? And you tell your top knot's joking, they look at you. Amen. How many of you, and I'm looking for my message, I do have it somewhere, I was just looking at it, maybe I hid it from myself. How many of you, okay, and don't all raise your hand at the same time, ever played hooky from school? Come on, let me see your hands. How many played hooky from school? Okay. How many of you remember those truant officers? I guess that's what you call them when you were you one? Were you a truant officer? Well, you know, you miss a few days, you know, they go out and look for you, or they'll call home and mom or dad will say, well, they left here for school and they go out and, you know, they would go out and look for you. Well, one day I decided to, I was attending two schools. I was doing a half a day in one section, and then the second half of the day I was going to a vocational school. And so I decided to skip that vocational that evening. And it was me and another friend of mine, Mike, both two Mikes, okay? And so really they wasn't looking for us. They were looking for somebody else. And so we saw him. It was one guy, Mr. Gillis. I'll never forget his name. And as we was walking, you know, I said, Mike, this Mr. Gillis. And the first thing we did, boy, we ran and hid behind this bush, you know. And so Mr. Gillis got out of his car. He got out of his car, and he only saw one of us now. Think about it. I want y'all to get this. He saw one of us, but there were two Mikes. And so he gets out of his car and he said, Mike. He didn't say Mike Harvey or Mike Kelly. All he said was Mike. He said, Mike, listen, I saw you run behind that bush there. You might as well, you know, come out, come from behind there. And he said, I want you to get this now. He said, you might as well just turn yourself in and make it easy on yourself.
Yeah.
So we both back there hiding. Now, you got to see me now. You ready for this? I'm pushing him. Mike, go ahead, man. He saw you. Go, 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 go. And he back there, no, he didn't see me, he saw you. He said, yeah. And we back there arguing. Guess what? He come back there and he caught both of us. Man, I got two Mikes, and I don't have to look for the other, you know. So we got caught. We didn't turn ourselves in. We got caught. Well, there was another occasion where, and I think I was about maybe 15 years old. We went down to this. I wasn't nowhere near saving, nothing like that. Went down to this dance hall here, and a little teenage thing, and the guys I was with didn't have any money. I had money to get in, but I wanted to follow the crowd, you know. So we climbed. It was a two-story building. We climbed up top of the building and worked our way down to the dressing room, down to try to get on the floor. And anyway, some guy broke a window, and the custodian got involved, and he got the police involved. And guess what? It was probably about 15 of us. We ran in each dressing room, and this guy knew this place inside out. And what he would do, he would go to one room, he said, officer, there, a man right there, there's a man there, a man there, a man there. So I ran into the restroom. Well, when I ran into the restroom, there was another guy in there. Well, the door was open, but there was, you know, you got your sink, and then you have a mirror there, right? So I'm stooping down, and the other guy's standing up. So guess what? One of us was seen in that mirror. And so the guy says, "Officer, there's a guy in there." He said, "Young man, you might as well come out of there." He said, "Y'all ready for the same thing? You might as well turn yourself in. I see you, to make it easy on yourself." And here I am again. "Man, don't, man, they say it. Don't. We back there arguing. And guess what? Got both of us. And each time, you ready for this? The statement was made to turn yourself in, make it easy on yourself. And guess what? I suffered major consequences because of that. Okay, both times. Okay? My mom, and she didn't do it then, but my mom, she's 80, be 83 years old soon. Now I can call HRS on her right now. They'll put her in jail for child abuse. Mom used to kill me, but I'm telling you. You said, "Well, that was Dad's job. She didn't leave none. Have, he didn't listen. She didn't leave anything left for him." So I suffered the consequences both times for not turning myself in. Tonight I'm going to preach the word of God to you tonight, and this is what I'm going to say to you. Okay, y'all ready for this? Turn yourself in. Make it easier on yourself. The word of God does not ricochet. It's going to hit the target every time. All right? If I obey the Lord and preach from his book, it's going to hit the target every time. Y'all agree with that? Yeah. Okay. And we do know that God is faithful to his word. We're going to see that tonight, that God is faithful to his word. He's thinking much of his word is above his name. That's it, and you'll see that tonight. And I want to help you tonight and trust that. Listen, I don't want to beat you over the head or anything like that, but I want to preach the word of God. I'm going to obey the Lord tonight. And I trust that God speaks to your heart. Please get it settled tonight. And this is the word of God, amen? And we're going to respect the word of God. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now let's begin at verse 13. What's the first word? Let. Okay, I hear pages turning. Okay, he said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." Then he goes on to say, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, here's three words that we're going to look at tonight, and that's in verse 16. And it says, do not, what's the next word? Let's say it again. Do not. Now, he's saying here, do not be misled, do not be deceived. And we'll go back over this in a minute. Do not be led astray. There's a warning here. Okay? There's a warning here. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Notice he's talking to Christians. And then he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this night you've given us. Lord, thank you once again for such an opportunity, Lord, to take this precious book and then open it, Lord, and to preach from it. Father, I pray that every ear and every heart would be open, receptive to your word. Oh, Lord, that we'll leave here different, Lord, than the way we came tonight. Father, I do not take anything for granted. There may be someone here that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Father, I pray tonight will be the night of salvation for them. I pray that you would challenge, encourage, comfort hearts in such a way, Lord, that we would obey you. We do love you. We do thank you once again for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice in verse 13, he said, let no man say when I am tempted, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God is saying here, and James is saying here that God is not the blame. And the Lord said, I'm not in that. Don't put me into this. It don't, temptation and God does not mix. And we'll see this tonight as we look into the scriptures. And I don't want to so much preach on temptation. I want to look at that word, do not err. That's what I want to look at tonight. But let's just, we understand about temptation. And then here's the way that it goes. We know it's going to eventually, it comes from inside out and it leads to sin. We know that temptation begins. Look what he says in verse 14. But every man when he's tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust, that's that old strong desire. And that strong desire always, let's be carefully, deal with your emotions. We'll see this as we go on into the scriptures. It deals with your emotions. And then he goes on to say here, verse 14 said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and what's the next word? Enticed. And so we need to understand the role of temptation that has something to do with the desire, and then the next stage here, and it has something to do with deception. Deception deal with the intellect. The emotion, the intellect, and then disobedience. That is the act of the will. And it always bring it forth what? Death. That disobedience leads us into sin. Temptation itself is not. But when it gets to your emotions, your intellect, and then the act of the will, which leads you into disobedience. And what he's saying here, listen, he said, that has nothing to do with that. You know, temptation. Can I tell you something? This temptation, you can't blame God, number one. We know that. You cannot blame God. But we understand the problem with this thing called lust. It's that it lacks a compass of boundaries. Can I tell you something? When I have that particular desire there that deals with my emotions and then the intellect and then eventually disobedience, can I tell you something? It has no boundaries. How many of you have, don't raise your hand, have found yourself in that situation, boy, that strong desire, boy, dealt with the emotion, boy, and got to the intellect, and then the act of the will, and then when you finally woke up, you found out you were further into that sin than you wanted to get into.
Amen, sir. Yep, you're right, sir. You're right.
And that's exactly where it leads us. And we need to understand, and even this lust, this desire here simply wants something without consideration of the rights or the wrong of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know that? When, boy, I have that desire, and then when I'm deceived, can I tell you something? When I'm deceived, I'm not considering the rights or the wrong of it. And do you know I don't even consider who I hurt in the midst of it? Myself or others, or even whether it's going to grieve the very God that I say I serve. And he's trying to help us tonight, and he's telling us God has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with that. That's something of our own. Can I tell you something? Even though Satan is the origin of sin, he didn't even fault Satan here. He sure didn't. He said God is not to blame. He didn't say Satan was. Now, we do know he's the originator of it. But he said, hey, of your own lust. Satan the one that does the drawing and does the tempting and etc. Okay? But guess what? Remember, disobedience, the act of the will, that's something you do. That's something that you approve. That's an approver of us and says, okay, I'll do it. So notice he doesn't blame Satan here. But I want you to see something here, and I'm going to read verse 15, but I want you to see something in verse 16 again. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Always lead to death. Always. Always lead to death. It always leads to death. And then he tells us something. Do not err. That's a warning. That's a warning. He says, do not err. That's a warning. And I want to help you with that word here, do not err. And I shared with you earlier, it means that do not be deceived. Do not wander away. Do not be led astray. Can I tell you something? Satan casts suspicion, and we're going to see this today. Satan always casts suspicion upon the character of God. Did you know that? Suspicion. And I looked up that word, and I know, but we know it, but I liked it. Look, to doubt. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you doubt God before? Wow. And how about, and the word thought there. Now, what I mean by thought, second thought. You ever second thought something? Boy, he's on to something, isn't he? When he gets you to doubt, second thought or the question, oh, man, I don't know about that. You ever been there? Then disbelief, mistrust. How about this? You know, and we'll see this tonight, where you think that God is holding something out on you. You're going to see that. That's what Satan does. Cast suspicion upon the character of God. Now he says, do not err. And I want to help you tonight with three things here. Now, first of all, listen to me carefully. He's telling us, do not err. And he's telling us to listen. If you do, you better look ahead. Look ahead and beware of judgment. Did y'all hear what I said? Now, he's telling us how this thing come about. He said, I don't have nothing to do with it, but if you do it, you look ahead. Judgment is coming. Now, I'm not turning there tonight because you all know the story. Can I tell you something? Now, let me share this with you. Satan, no God is faithful to his word. Yes, Satan know that. Satan know God means exactly what he says. Right. Yes, he's kicked out, isn't he? Yes, you think the Lord said, okay, Satan, we're going to give you another chance. We're going to give you another shot. He kicked him out. Right. Okay, now let's go to the first. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, okay? Now, because I want to kind of paraphrase, but I want to share it with you because of time. But I want to show you some people here that did not consider the judgment of God. And you all know what Adam and Eve, he told them about the tree and the fruit that they should not touch, and etc. If they eat thereof, they should surely die, and etc. And you know, Satan came on the scene. And verse 5, he said, for God doth know that in that day that ye eat thereof, verse 3-5, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see what he's saying? That's, hey, God don't want you to do that. But listen, if you do that, listen, you'll be as, what did he say earlier? You'll be as gods. You'll know it all. God is holding something back on you. Do you know Adam and Eve became the first know-it-alls? They wanted to know it all. He said, you mean to tell me I know it all? I know, like, I'll be like, as God? Know it all? Oh, yeah, I want that. She was deceived, but Adam was not. So we see one, the act of the emotion, Eve. Deception, Eve. Adam, disobedient, the act of the will. Their eyes were open. And let's pick up a little bit here. Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Hey, listen to me carefully. She saw, I want y'all to focus on this now. She focused on that which she saw that was good. Emotions, number one, from Satan. Now we see what? Deception. Deception. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, there it goes, there's that desire, and a tree to be desired, there it is, to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband, her husband with her, and he did what? Eat. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed thick leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now look at verse 8. And And they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, help me with the next two words, hid themselves. Now I want y'all to focus though. We're gonna see other people. Good. If it's good, why they had to hide? Now we're gonna see every good gift and every perfect gift come from. We're gonna see that in a minute. But when God came on the scene, guess what? They hid. And you all know the story. Judgment came down, didn't it? What happened? He drove him out of the garden. Did he not? Did he say, Adam, we're going to give you another shot at this. We're going to give you another shot at this, Adam. Now, you see, God is faithful in his word. Judgment came by. God meant what he said. And it took place. Did not they die? Yes. Sin, by one man, sin entered here into the world. Death came by this right here, by Adam. And eventually he saw one son kill the other. Sin. Judgment. And he was telling them and warned them, do not partake of this. Do not err, he says. Beware. Judgment is coming. God did not back up on his word, did he? He stuck to it and drove them out. Let me give you another one. You remember Achan?
Yes, sir.
Let's take our Bibles here, and we're going to move through some things here quickly. Take your Bibles and turn to chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And you all know the story. He told them not to touch the accursed thing. Okay. You remember that? The things that was dedicated for destruction and should be utterly destroyed. And he did not do that. We'll pick up at verse chapter 6. And let's look at verse 18, where God made the statement here. And look what he says. And ye, and in any wise, keep yourself from the, what's that word? Accursed things. Least ye shall make yourself a curse. And when ye take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and what? Trouble you. And he goes on and tell them all the things to do and not to do, but he told them specific. Do not touch. Do not take on that accursed thing. He told them. He warned them. Do not. Do not do that. And you all know the story. How Achan came on board and took care of that. But look at verse 7. Let's pick up. You remember what happened here and how they went and took on Jericho here and took that thing here. And then there's some things that happened in verse 7. Look at verse 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed their trespasses in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Cameroth, the son of Zephthah, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And you all know the story. They went out to Ai and born, and guess what? They lost the battle and all. And guess what? In verse, I want y'all to see something. In chapter 7, verse 1, God knew exactly who it was. He mentioned Achan right here. And then eventually, as we go on, and pick up the story here from verse 20. Let's pick up the story on verse 20 here. And you all know the story, but I want you to see some things. In verse 20. And you remember Achan was found out. The Lord told Joshua, boy, they were sitting in the camp. These things took place. And you know what he told him? Go search him out. Go do some investigating. Could I tell you something? God knew already knew who it was.
Yes, sir.
Go search him out. And guess what? Let's look at verse 20. Verse 20 of chapter 7, verse 20 of chapter 7, okay. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of a, what's that next word? Goodly. Remember Eve. Good. So that was good. And guess what? The Babylonians garnish a garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and the 50 shekels weight Then I covered them and took them, and behold, they are, what's that next word? Hid. Good. He hid it. If it was good, why did he hide it? What do we see? Three things we saw. Emotions. That strong desire. Boy, he saw it. Boy, man, I want this. The intellect. You see that? Deception. And the act of the will. Disobedient. Look what it says. And I shouldn't have stopped here, but I want y'all just to see that. That word. And he said, they are hid in the earth in the midst of the tent. And the silver under it, okay? And y'all know the story here. You know what happened? They were took to the city, and guess what? Destroyed his entire family. Right. And the cursed thing as well. Yes. It was a done deal. God made the statement in chapter 8, in chapter 6, verse 18. If you do this, right, it's going to happen to you.
That's right.
And what happened? Achan lost his entire family. God is serious when it comes to his word. Do not err. Now you think about this. God said, I see it. The reason why he came on the scene with Adam and Eve wasn't nobody else to sin. Amen. Just those two. But now you see, you're going to see God begin to send people. Send Joshua. Joshua, they're sinned in the camp. Search him out. In verse 1 of chapter 7, he told who it was. We know who it was. Joshua didn't at the time. But the Lord's telling us something. I see you, buddy. And so we see that. Now, let me give you another one. And we are very familiar with this, but I want you to see this one. David, a man after God's own heart. And I want you to see this. 2 Samuel. I want you to turn there, 2 Samuel. And then I want you to look at chapter 11. And then we're going to look at the consequences. Let's look at verse 1. We read verse 1 and then we'll go to verse on to 3, and then we'll go to chapter 12. And it came to pass, after the years was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening, David arose from off his bed, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now you think about this. We saw the word good hid. But here, let me show you where is this good here. Where you see, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David said, boy, she looks good. Desire. Boy, it got to the emotions. But let's look at verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, you know what that one said? Do not err. Look what he said here. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? He's telling out David. Do not err, David. That's what he's saying to him. If you want to read that out, that's exactly what he's saying to David. Do you realize what you're about to do, man? Do you realize that this that God ain't pleased with this? Do you realize that this somebody else? Woman? Y'all understand that? And so there was a woman in there. And he's telling us, David, judgment is coming. David went on, didn't he? He saw that she was good, and what happened? After then, he tried to hide it. Boy, Uriah on the scene tried to get him drunk and accepted, and eventually, y'all know what took place. He set him out on the battle to get me killed. Tried to hide that thing. But you know, when he was trying to hide it, he wasn't looking down the road. Judgment was coming. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12. And you all know he shared the story and etc. And let's pick up on verse 5. You all know the story because of time. You all know the story. He came and kind of shared a little story with him. And let's pick up at verse 5, David's reaction, okay? David's response. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, you remember the Lord sent Nathan? Hey, Nathan, you go down there and tell David, I'm faithful to my word. Don't tell David. Judgment is coming. Look what he says here. Let's read it. Boy, how David was greatly angry here, kindled, he said, against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Verse 7. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. David, you the man. That Lord that came, showed me, and told me to come tell you, you the man. And look what he says. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee the master's house and the master's wives and to thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such thing. Here's the judgment. It's coming up now. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Now you think about this word despise. And I'm going to give you several words. I'm going to give you several definitions, okay, of that word despise. But I want one. I'm going to give you one that I hope it'll stick to you. It means to think light of. David, you thought light of my word. Negligence. It wasn't, y'all ready for this? It was worthless. Did not one say it? It was worthless to David. You see how that temptation, how it deals with the emotions, the understanding, it deals with the intellect from deception, and then it deals with the act of the will, and you are not even considering the consequences that follows. And here Nathan comes on the scene and say, you have despised, you have neglect, you have reject, you have thought light of the commandment of God. And could I tell you something, my friend? Many of us do that in every service. When we begin to do other things other than listen to the word of God, we begin to think light of it. Don't mean nothing to me. And that's what David was saying. That's what Nathan was saying to David. Didn't mean nothing to you. You did it anyway. And you was reminded. And you still did it. Look what he says here. Now notice, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. God said, I saw it. You did evil, and I saw you do it. And you know, listen to me carefully, David knew God. But at the time, sir, you understand? He didn't care who was around. Why? Because he was focused from that lust that drawed him into a wrong decision making and to a wrong conclusion. Now look what he says. Wherefore hast thou despised the word, the command of the Lord to do evil in his sight, and thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite and with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and had slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Look at verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast, help me with the next two words. First of all, he said, you despise the commandments of the Lord. And he said, you despise me. Can I tell y'all something? Y'all ready for this? God takes it personal. Not only he said, you despise the commandments of the Lord. He said, David, you thought light of me, the one that you serve. And look what else he says here. And has taken Uriah's wife to be thy wife, and the Hittite to be thy wife. Then he goes on and on and on and share the story here. But I want you to back up and look what he says in verse 10. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Did that not come to pass? Let's look at his sons on down the line. And then eventually, you know, Absalom wanted to kill him. He wanted to take over the kingdom, didn't he? Amnon. We'll go down the line how that sword never departed from his house. God is faithful to his word. God means what he says. Let me give you one more, and we'll not turn there. Saul, remember? Remember? The Amalekites. He's supposed to go and destroy everything. The animals and everything. Destroy everything. But he decided to save a few. And you know what the Bible says? Y'all ready for this? The good. Hey, boy, this is good here. He decided he's going to save the good part. Hey, you know, he hid it. Did he not hide it? You remember when the prophet came? He said, what? Samuel said, what's this I hear? Yeah. Yeah. What's that? Huh?
Yeah, he
heard it. God, let's be careful. It's telling us, hey, not only did I see you, I hear you. And I know you. I know what you're doing. And God will pinpoint it every time. God is faithful to his word. And so first of all, he's warning us to look ahead, to beware of judgment. Judgment is coming. Back to James. So number one, he's telling us to do not err. If so, God says, you beware. You look ahead. Beware. A judgment is coming your way. Beware. A judgment is coming your way. Do you know judgment always begins at the house of the Lord? Do you know that? And I will not, you and I know we're not talking about condemnation to hell. He's talking to brothers. We know we are not under the judgment of God if you say this evening. We know that. But he's telling you, trouble is coming your way. Trouble is coming your way. So he tells us the first barrier to look ahead, judgment is coming. Then he tells us the second barrier is God is telling us not only to look ahead, but he wants us to look around and see how good he's been to us. You ever looked around? You ever consider how good God is to us? Look what he says here in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, which cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Can I tell you something? When God's gift, when it comes from above, can I tell you something? You do not have to hide it. Nothing crooked about it. Because it comes from above. Have you ever considered, looked around and see how good God is to you? Let me give you some areas here. We're going to focus back on David. Turn to Psalm 119. I want to show you something here. Psalm 119. Now let's look at a few scriptures here tonight. And I want to move along and get us get through this. But I want you to see some things here. The goodness of God. Look at Psalms 119 and verse 67. And look what David says here. Look what David says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Look at verse 71. It is good for me, he says, that I have been what? Afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Now look at the word, focus on the word good. He says, good for me. Can I tell you something? Even in the midst of judgment that's coming, God still shows his goodness toward us. Can I tell you something? You know why God's so good? You know why? Let me tell you how he loves us so much. Do you know we do not get away with sin? And you know God's our Father when we doing sins on board. Can I tell you something? God gets involved. God is interested in you. Guess what? Listen to me carefully. He don't care about the sin, but he's interested in his children, and God will get involved. Home. The Father loves it. Guess what? He's chasing it. Discourage every son whom he received. Listen to me carefully. I want you to understand something. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. How many of you know sometimes when even through disobedience, which affliction can be a lot of things here, but here since we're on judgment, okay, and we're on doing what's wrong, how many of you known you have done some things and God just stopped you in your tracks? And have brought you to your knees. Judgment have come, but God said, hey, boy, hey, I still have mercy on you. Just repent and get it right. And we see here, David said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might what? Learn something. Could I tell you something? Y'all ready for this? God, is not only he's interested, he gets involved. And David said something, that I may learn thy what? Statutes. For you know what God is interested in? He's interested in educating you about him, closer to him. And then that's why he's telling us, do not err, do not go astray. Because if you're a child of his, he said, I'll get you back. Oh, I'll get you. Oh, boy, but judgment might come your way. Consequence is going to take place.
Yes,
so guess what? Hey.
Get
involved. You think about that. Yes, think about that. When Adam and Eve sinned, God got involved. Did he not come down? He got involved. Hey, when we looked at Achan, when he said, guess what? God got involved. Because he was interested in Israel. When David sinned, God got involved. You go down there and tell him, Nathan. Amen. Tell him how wrong he is. God got involved. And when you and I do things contrary to the scriptures, God gets involved. Why? To bring you to the point where you need to be. Now look what has to happen here. Now listen to me carefully here. We see the same God that afflicted David here. And he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And verse 71, that I might learn thy statutes. Now look at verse 75. Help me with the next two words. I know. Now listen to me carefully. Now this word I know. David is saying this with confidence. I know. Oh Lord, that thou judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness had, what's the next two words? David's at the point now. Y'all ready for this? He is not letting Satan cast any suspicion upon the character of God. He's, Lord, I know that thou in faithfulness. And he's talking about, let me back up here before I mess that up here. He said, I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right. Now, you think about the judgment right. Whatever decision made, whatever verdict God comes up with, whatever verdict God says, David said, Lord, I know you're right. There's no sense in me denying. You're right. And but look what else he says here, and I like this here. And that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now, you ready for this by the faithfulness? Y'all ready for this? Every time you mess up, God's going to get involved. Because he's faithful. Y'all hear that? Every time we mess up, God is going to get involved. How many of you you've been children before. How many when you messed up, your parent got involved?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Huh? Because you were interested in the welfare of your children. Am I right? You were interested in your children getting where they need to be. God is interested in his children getting where they need to be. And he will get involved. Now listen to this. The same hand that afflicted, the same hand that and I use this word, spanked them. Look at God here in verse 76. Y'all ready for this? The same one that chastened him, it's the same one. Let's read it. Let I pray thee that thy merciful kindness be my, what's the next word? Comfort. The same one that said, beware, judgment is coming. The same one that chastened you is the same one that's going to comfort you. Hey, listen, let's be careful. I hope you get this now. He's not doing this to run your way. He's doing this to bring you to his loving arms. Whew. And look what he says here now. I like this. Let thy tender mercies come unto me. I'm sorry, let me back up here. Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness, I'm sorry, be my comfort. According to thy word unto thy servant. Then he said, let that tender mercies come unto me that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Where is he now? He's not despising the word of God, is he? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn that statute. Now, guess where he is now? He's right where God wants him. He writes right where he needs to be. Guess what he saw? He saw the goodness of God in all of that. Because God was interested. God got involved. And he saw the love of God. Tender mercies. Loving kindness. Be my comfort. So he's telling us, number one, to look ahead and beware of judgment. And the second baron, he's telling us to look around and see how good God has been to you. So we all have a testimony, don't we, how good God has been to us. God is good to us. And it's so good, listen to me carefully, we do not have to hide it. Isn't that something? And I'm sure, I know this church, boy, you share some testimonies, amen? And guess what? It's all about him and bragging on him, amen? How good God is to us. Now, listen, I won't even park there. We better move on, okay? Because we can stay here all night talking about how good God is to us. Now, you need to know my mama. One of these days, maybe you'll meet her, okay, before we all go to heaven, amen? But you need to know my mom. My cousin was down from Chicago, brother, talking about how good God is to him and just talking and talking. You just got to know my mom. Love the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you, she'll say what comes out of her mouth. She don't curse anything like that, but a lot of times, you know, she's smart at the mouth, so to speak. And you know, boy, old William just kept talking how good God is. And she said, boy, you're a fool. So he's good to me, too. So he ain't just good to you. Why you keep talking? He's good to me, too. He takes care of me, too. So you ain't got him all to yourself. That's just my mom, okay? You just got to know mom. My mama, you say, Pearl, I'll be praying for you. You know what my mama said? If you ain't right with God, don't pray for me. And she's right on it, brother.
So what do we see here? We see look ahead and look for the judgment of God. Now look around and see how good God is to you. Thirdly, y'all ready for this one? He's telling us to look within now and realize that you have been born from above and possess the divine nature of God. You ever thought about that? Before we err, think about judgment coming. Number two, think about how good God is to you. And number three, look within. Now you want to look ahead. Look around. Now look within. Whew. What do I have? The divine nature of God. I got God living in me. Isn't that something? Huh? Come on, that may not mean nothing to you. Hey, you think about that. God living in me. Heirs, joint heirs with Christ. All the benefits that I have. In Him, He said, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. In me. Look what He says here. And let's read the scriptures here. Back to James. And look what he says here. Chapter 1 again. Look what he says. Verse 17, he's talking about every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know, look around. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Could I tell you something? He said, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And could I tell you something about this? Y'all ready for this, about the goodness of God? It keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. You know what I like about my wife? Boy, I'm going to expose her. This time, brother, get tough. I said, honey, I don't know how we're going to make it tomorrow. You know what my wife said to me? Just only a few words. Did he not take care of today? That's all I need to hear. And boy, if she's secured, that's enough for me.
That's right. Amen.
Did he not take care of today? Oh, yeah, did. Are we hungry for anything? No. You know? You think about that. And boy, that helps me out. See how good. Yeah. And it keeps coming. Yeah. You heard the word a participle or something like that. You understand what I mean? It just keeps coming. And can I tell you, it's so good. Listen to me carefully. And I'm going to make a statement. You and I, we know the God of the Bible, and I'm not taking no out of context, but can I say something to you? You and I never figure out God. And what I mean by that, how He's going to do it, or just trust Him to do it. Now, how many of you really been blessed? You know, man, you need in need of something, and it's not out of the blue, but guess what? You had no idea how it's going to come, and the person that you least expect. God, just bring it down. Use that individual. He uses people, but guess where it come? It didn't come from them. And guess what we do? Boy, we thank God. Isn't that something? What a God we serve. But here, look what he says in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. You think about that. Boy, it's gracious. We don't have to earn it. Amen. It's through the word of God. We see the spirit of God use the word of God and it would bring about this miracle of this new birth that we have. What a God we serve. So tonight, James is warning us, do not err. Do not err. Judgment is coming. Do not err. You better look around and see how good I am to you. Do not err. You better look it within.
Yeah, amen.
You're a child of God, my friend. Do you realize that you're a child of God? Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Do you realize, listen to me carefully, when we do those things contrary to the scriptures, we grieve the very God that we serve?
And he tells us in Ephesians, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Mimic, we ought to follow him. We ought to want to be like our Father, amen? And he's telling us, oh, look ahead, judgment is coming. He says, you just look around and see how good I am. And he said, look within and see how. He was talking about this morning, the ladder. See how much I love you and how I saved you. And guess what? He said, you didn't have anything to do with it. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. So I'm saying to you tonight, if God has spoken to your heart tonight, do yourself a favor and just turn yourself in. Could I tell you something? God, even Numbers tell us that our sins will find us out, right? Can't hide them. And you know what about the Christians? Y'all ready for this? You know the sinner, you know God treasures up wrath against the day of judgment to that. We know he's already under the wrath of God, already judged, and et cetera, already hell-bound until he comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know how God deals with his children? Well, he deals with those that are lost. Deal with them on layaway, brother. He have mercy on them. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Well, let me tell you something about the Christians. He is. Y'all ready for this? He don't deal with us on layaway. You're going to pay for it. Right here. Cash. So you're going to pay for this right now. You know, it bothers me, and I'll be closing. It bothers me when people are exposed. And say, oh, man, there's old devil. No, God exposed them. In every situation we saw here tonight, who exposed them? God did. He either came down himself with Adam and Eve, and the rest he sent someone to say, hey, buddy, I'm exposing you. So I trust tonight that you'll look ahead. If there's something in your life that's causing you to go out there and do things that you has no business doing, that temptation that we cannot fault God, which I failed to mention. Notice Adam, if y'all get this right, Adam did not blame Eve. He blamed God. This woman that you gave me. And that's exactly what Satan wanted. See that suspicion? Lord, if you hadn't gave it to me, that never would happen. And you know what God is saying? As James said, God said, I ain't in that. Don't put me in that, buddy. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to cast suspicion, cast it on God. And guess what? He camouflages things. You understand? And he casts it on God. When you cast it on God, guess what? And then God turns around and exposes you. And that's what Satan does.